English lawyers still wear the powdered wigs? Like,
he said that he was a lawyer, and she like listed off some of the things, like with the briefcase and the suit. It's kind of sexy. I was like, they're wearing the wigs. That's not sexy. It was so upsetting.
But she's American, so she probably doesn't know that.
Tim hasn't got the moves.
Oh, no.
But he has got a secret.
You can travel in time. Wow.
From Richard Curtis, director of Love Actually.
How about this?
Hate it.
How about this?
Gorgeous.
About time.
Welcome to Show Me the Movies with Justin and Nick, a movie podcast hosted by lifelong cousins slash buddies that digs into movies that mean something to us and our guests. I'm Nick.
I am Justin.
And we have a guest.
Hi, I'm Milena.
Awesome. We have Milena Yoder. Milena, I'm going to start us off differently than we've done any other pod so far. So I want, because as we've had so many good guests on, I'm like, I want us to hear a little tiny bit about the guests. So can you tell us four things about yourself? And they can be four things of your choosing, and I'm putting you on the spot, and they can be literally anything.
It could be you have a cat. But also, I thought, Nick, you were going to say, like, we're going to go backwards in this podcast because it's about time.
Oh.
No.
That sounds so miserable and confusing.
It does sound confusing and not
good. Do you have a cat?
I don't have a cat. I have a dog with a ridiculous personality. Just the most anxious, cute, maybe little
What's
guy.
Your dog's name?
His name is Fitz. He's a fancy little boy. He sits with his paws crossed.
What kind of dog is he?
He's an Australian Shepherd.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, you have an Australian Shepherd.
Endless energy. He just will not stop all day long. Yeah.
And you like, do you like that? Or
I like my dog. I do.
Okay.
Yeah. He's calmed down a little bit since he's a puppy.
That's good.
So you have a dog. There's number one.
Yes. I would say number two, important to this podcast, I think I'm joining a long line of podcast guests who have either lived with you or who have lived with people who have lived with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I lived with Nick's wife, Hannah, for a while in college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fun time. I don't always have fond memories of college, but I have very fond memories of that. Like you two rooming together, me getting to know Hannah, me also getting to know you during that time a little bit. It's really lovely.
Yeah, it's a cozy little apartment for sure. Yeah. I'm a Hoosier, also in common with you guys.
Northern Indiana,
from like Amish country up there. I'm a Yoder, so I
lots of Yoders where I came from.
Oh yeah, Vern, that's right. Yeah.
Yep.
And that leads probably to the most important thing for a podcast about movies is that I did not grow up watching movies. So my back catalog is pretty small. I did like a whole pop culture education for myself when I was in college. And I did so much TV, and I read a lot when I was a kid. So I did a bunch of the like movie adaptations of books that I had already read. But I would like typically go to TV first, and when I watch movies, I watch movies that make me feel good, or movies that are like a cultural conversation that I have to watch because they're a cultural conversation.
For sure.
Yeah.
The thing that I love about having guests on is that, because sometimes I ask people if they want to do it, and they're like, "I'm not really a movie person." I'm like, "That's okay. You just have to like a movie. There has to be one movie that you like
a single movie."
And you gave me like a list of four or five, and like a paragraph for each one on why it was meaningful. Yeah. And I was like, "Hey, I mean, I'm good with any of these."
And you'll notice they all make me feel good. Every single one of those were just like really happy, feel good movies.
Also, join the club, because I did not watch movies growing up.
Okay,
my parents. I just don't think we were a movie family. Like, we hardly went to movie theaters. We owned, like, probably 20 VHSs and some DVDs, and then rewatched some movies.
Yeah.
Weren't big movie family.
I will say, Milena, the reason that we picked About Time is because there's a history of about 6 or 7 years with this movie where, starting, I don't know, at least 5 years ago, Justin and Abby and Hannah and I, like before any of us were married, were like, we need to watch About Time. I was the only one who had not seen it. And we have like planned date nights to watch it. and they have either fallen through or we've done something else. And so last night it was like on the main menu, we were going to watch it. I was like, I'm still not convinced we're watching this movie. I don't think it's going to happen. So thank you for like making that actually happen.
I'm
so
glad. I love giving homework. That's great.
She held us accountable.
Absolutely. So I'm really excited to talk about this movie. Just a few little overview things with it. Directed by Richard Curtis. Starring, okay, Domhnall Gleeson, I think. I looked it up. Are either of you confident in how to say his name?
No, okay. I always said Domhnall.
I think it's like pronounced more Britishly though. Do you say like Domhnall? I think it's like Domhnall.
Domhnall.
Isn't he Scottish?
Yeah, he's Scottish. Scottish.
His dad's Brendan Gleeson, so yeah. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. So Domhnall Gleeson as Tim Lake, Rachel McAdams as Mary, Bill Nighy as Dad. That's just what he's credited as. Tom Hollander as Harry. Margot Robbie as Charlotte. Also, Vanessa Kirby's in this. And Justin and I both at the end, we were looking at the credits and we're like, oh, Vanessa Kirby. Do you know who Vanessa Kirby is?
No.
She's in Mission Impossible, some of them. Okay. She's in the really bad Napoleon movie. Yes, but she's just someone who I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't notice while I was watching. I was like, oh, that's very cool. Justin, do you have a plot synopsis for this one?
I do. I said, a man on the brink of adulthood learns from his dad he can travel through time, leaving him to the rest of his life to figure out the weight and responsibility of this supernatural power while finding love, navigating family, and day-to-day life.
That was a lot better than what I wrote down. So very good.
I was so curious to see how you were going to... I have tried so many times to recommend this movie to people and had no clue how to talk about it. What's the genre? It's not really a rom-com. It's not really...
Yeah. I wouldn't classify it as a rom-com.
No. It's not coming of age quite either. It's
Yeah.
It's just different.
Just fun. Yeah. It's perfect.
It is.
It was awesome. Really lovely. Mm-hmm. So it was released in September 2013 in the UK and then November in the US. So it had an earlier release in the UK. The budget was around $12 million. What do we think the worldwide gross is?
$12 million is crazy low.
Yeah, it's pretty low for a movie, for a studio movie.
I don't know.
I have truly like no metric to guess this on. But I don't remember it doing well here. Like I don't remember it having...
I don't remember it coming out.
Yeah, or for like years afterwards, I don't remember hearing about it.
I was like a sophomore or a junior. So you were like probably a senior.
Yeah.
In high school.
I'm sure it made its budget.
I'll say it made...
Like 15?
I'll say it made $35 million.
It had a worldwide gross of $87.1 million. Oh, so it did really well.
Underrated.
Really well, yeah.
Yeah. Getting into our own personal experiences with it, when, where, how many times did you see the movie? Melena, we'll start with you.
I try not to watch this movie very often because I love it so much and I don't want to ruin it. And I watched it first with no context at all. My friend said that it was her favorite movie. And we were in like a little study abroad group and it was raining outside and we were in Ireland and it was... perfect.
In Ireland. Lovely.
We started watching this movie and found out that it was about time travel 15 minutes in, which was disorienting. And it was really beautiful. I tried to watch it probably once a year.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. It's a good movie to watch once a year.
Yeah.
Also, it's fun that you found out about time travel just as the same as Tim found out about it.
I think it was a joke. I did think it was a joke for a while. Yeah.
That's incredible. I can't remember the first time I watched this. I believe it was like late high school, maybe early college. But I do have a good memory of watching this with some people that I worked with at Taylor. And I won't name names, but one of them covered his eyes like during sex scenes or something.
Oh, classic.
Yeah, or maybe with the scene when she's like taking her clothes off and I was like, okay, there's like no nudity in this movie. I've seen it before.
Oh, Christian college. Lovely. I've seen it once yesterday with Justin and Abby and Hannah, and it was great. And our dogs, Crosby and Ripley.
Yeah, they were there too.
Yeah, it was so good. So what feelings, other than entertained, do you feel Milena when you watch this movie?
Oh, there's so many feelings. I mean, if you're not weeping by the end, your heart is
you're dead.
Stone, absolutely. But also, like, it does this thing where it kind of, like, blows the top of your head off at the very end, where you're, like, watching all the scenes of everybody enjoying these, like, little moments of normal life. But, yeah, and you kind of feel that all the way through, I think.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
It feels like a warm blanket to me and so cozy.
Just move the mic. Yep. There you go. Sorry.
That wasn't all the mic.
Continue.
It feels like a warm blanket and it makes me feel good inside and so comforting. It is a core memory movie for me, even though I wasn't that young when I watched it for the first time.
How old were you when you watched it for the first
time? Probably like 16 or 17.
Okay.
So you saw it like right when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely didn't see it in theaters, but like not long after it came out, I believe.
Were you and Abby dating at the time?
Oh, definitely.
Did you watch it together?
Yeah,
that's
say we did.
That's a great movie to watch together at the beginning of a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we weren't dating at the time, but our first movie together was Dana in Real Life.
Oh, that is also a good one.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, warm. It makes me feel warm. It's just really nice. Yeah. It's a very pleasant movie.
I just feel like there's a lot of space in it, like even within the dialogue there's like bantery parts, but there's so many times where the actors leave a lot of room in their own lines, but then also in like the tracking shots and stuff like that, it gives you time to breathe and enjoy what's happening.
I love that. That just came up on the episode that we did with Victoria about Princess Mononoke.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie?
I've not. No.
It's awesome. But there are also like sequences where there's a lot of space in between talking or some silence. And it's just like, I think it adds a lot to movies that have a good sense of emotion. So what to you resonates as true about this movie? Like in a spiritual sense, in a this is just true to life sense, in a realism sense, anything.
Justin, do you want to go first? I didn't say my name in that question.
Yeah, since he wasn't like Milena, you go.
Yeah.
I can definitely go first. I have a lot written down. I'm going to be doing some talking. I'm not going to do all my points, but I'll start off with this. So something I feel like I was thinking about after I watched the movie is, and I didn't really think about it a lot while I was watching, but it felt like a lot of the time the camera was super close to them, and there's not a lot of shots where it's like through a window or far away. There are some, but a lot of the time I found myself feeling like I was like right there with them because of that. And I liked that because it made it feel really real.
It's and intimate.
Yeah. And intimate. So I just thought that was a really cool thing. And I think the big scene that is not super close, at least for like the majority of it, is the end walk scene.
Milena's in tears already.
Milena's about to fall over. No. And I just feel like that's intentional because it's like, this is their moment. This is special enough that like, we don't need to fully be in their business right now. So there was some intentionality with that, and that was cool.
Obviously it's about time, the passage of time, the fantasy of being able to go back to the important moments and relive them over and over again, but as you are like now and experience that again as you are now. I really loved the scene where he took his sister Kit Kat to the party. It was played for laughs, but her and like her, 10 years on person got to inhabit the body of the like child that she was at that New Year's Eve party.
Yep.
And how she would have lived different and how she experienced that moment different. I thought that was really beautiful.
Punch that guy in the face.
Punch him in the face. Punch him right in the face.
Oh, and then sometimes like you have those thoughts. Well, I'll speak for myself. Sometimes I have those thoughts where I think about, this is when I'm maybe not in a good place. I'll think about something from high school and I'm just like, oh, why did I not just punch that person in the face? And I'm like, you know, probably better that I didn't. But It's very relatable.
I didn't think about that, but it is true how they went back and they know what they know in the future. Because there's always those hypothetical questions you have to ask with your friends, like, or if you do something differently. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I only knew what I knew then, but I guess if I knew what I know now, then yeah, I would do it differently. So, yeah.
I said that something that really rings true to me about this movie is, so like, I'm very happily married, but I've always loved the freshness of a new romance. And it made me think of like, I don't know, even like Hannah and I in the beginning of our like relationship, and that kind of, I love the newness and the freshness. And this movie is just so lovely in that sense. It also, as rehearsed as a lot of his like stuff is with Mary, it's like, it's really lovely. And some of the little awkward pieces of just starting a new romance is really cool. Like when they walk to her apartment and then they get there and she says something like, look, house, car, house. And it's like,
and he's like, yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yep. And she's just filling that space to just say something because they like each other. And it's, yeah. Just referring back to one of the very few conversational pieces that they have of like, oh, we'll walk to my house with the car. And that is like the little things like that give it something really beautiful that I think a lot of movies don't have.
It's really what I remember from the first time watching it was how I was just so delighted to watch dialogue that felt awkward in the way that real conversation is awkward. And I don't think that like everything about the dialogue was like, oh yeah, that sounds like a human conversation.
Sure.
But like, I'm somebody who, I love the West Wing. I love Sorkin and Amy Sherman Palladino. I love that like fast back and forth. And this was not that. And
no,
there was something really like settling about that and cringy and real. Yeah.
Cringy in an adorable kind of way.
Also super cringy when he's being creepy and he's trying to get her.
He's so creepy.
Cannot watch that scene. That scene is so stressful.
It's edging on stalker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Also, when he says the thing about Kate Moss, I'm like, would that come off as charming?
Like
I don't know. Maybe.
She kept on being very charmed by him in moments where I was like, run away. That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she just, I mean, he literally says verbatim back to what she said earlier, but she doesn't remember, obviously. So she's probably like, oh my gosh, what? You think the same thing about me, about Kate Moss? Okay, cool.
Something else that I love to see in this movie that I think is rare but increasingly portrayed in movies is like Uncle Desmond, just neurodiversity in the sense of, it's not like, oh, here's this guy and his diagnosis, but it's like Uncle Desmond is different in some like key ways, and he's sweet, and he also just like socially interacts very differently than the rest of the family, but you love to see him in it. I just really love that he's a part of it.
Yeah, and he had some jokes and like some funny moments, and also some really earnest, like, he's a whole person who's having a whole experience of this reality too. That was really lovely.
The whole person piece is huge, I think, because you see him go through a lot of different emotions and in different modes as well. And like when he's like talking about that day with like being the saddest day of his life, you're like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I kind of forgot about his character, honestly. It's been so long since my last rewatch that there was a lot of things I forgot, and he was one of them. But he's cool. I would say this movie is very sweet and genuine, and I would say those are a few things that probably people think of me, and that's probably why I like it. And
no,
very
asshole.
Hard edge, can't crack me. Yeah, it's hard to do that. And it doesn't feel like, the time travel element never feels like a gimmick or some like a party trick in a way. At least I don't think so. Wow, you guys are giving me some weird looks right now.
Well, Nick, what did you think about the time travel element?
Yeah,
I really like it. Yeah. I like that it doesn't feel the need to explain it. That's what I really like, because it's a movie that time travel is a key element, but it's there to make the story work. It's not a movie where it's like, oh, here's how everything, like, I don't care. I do not care, and I'm really glad they don't explain it. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I mean, if you think about the time travel piece for more than 4 seconds, your brain absolutely implodes on itself.
Just don't
like,
think
there's
about
no,
it.
But you don't think about it. I once heard somebody say that adult humans can't ask why more than 3 times in a story. Like, kids can do it all day long.
Yep.
But it's like, I think the, which I haven't seen it, but they gave the example of Star Trek. They're like, well, how do they travel? Well, through warp drive. Well, what's that? Oh, you know, brinium crystals. Great. That's great. That's all I needed to know. You just need to have some kind of explanation.
Totally.
And I think, I mean, you really don't need to know how they travel.
Your brain starts to short circuit once, at least mine did, once the whole birth thing and all that came into play. I was like, all right, what is going on here now?
Like one consequence and you're like, well, okay, now there's a rule.
It feels a little arbitrary, but I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
And also, like, so he also, I know this is not, but like just one quick sec here. He goes back, does something for his sister, then goes back to the future and his daughter is a son now. But he somehow undoes that something.
Yeah,
but how does he undo it? Like, I don't understand. Like,
there's a lot about sperm and the particular one, and like, but like, if you do everything the same, then that one still gets there. Which also, I'm like, if it's that specific, then I feel like you're completely screwed because it's like there's so many of them. But I don't know.
It's not the girl's fault, though. Girl only has one egg, so... Or maybe two, I guess, if you're having twins.
Two.
Maybe they should have had the time travel, then,
for
instead of the boys.
Yeah, that's so true.
I have something on that. Later. I also had saying yes to loving someone is saying no to other people. Like, into other opportunities, sometimes. I.e., Margot Robbie's character, when he has the opportunity to cheat on his girlfriend, it's like he leaves, which we can, and so I mean, going on that date in the first place was kind of like, who am I still supposed to like this person and what they're doing? But
especially because they both pull off their friends.
But that was interesting. But just like, I don't know, that fidelity was just really lovely, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else for you, Milena?
Felt true. I we haven't talked a ton about Rachel McAdams' character, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's absurd that Rachel McAdams would play somebody who is insecure, but I really think she pulls it off. Like, I really think I believe her. And just like how small she makes herself, especially at the beginning of the movie, and you see that change in her relationship with him, and I thought that was really beautiful and just like really subtle, like not commented on, not thought about it a ton.
I think if that's, you really saw beautiful her in real life, you'd be like, dang, she's stunning. But in the movie, it does, she gives girl from next door vibes.
Yeah,
so she does a good job of that for sure. But yeah, I do agree, it's like, you're insecure about what?
Anything not true? Anything that in this movie pops up and you're like, ooh, I don't love that, or like, this does not ring as true to me? It can be something silly, or it can be something that you're like, ooh, I actually kind of have issue with this.
I mean, I have so many silly things.
Sure, it can be
the
anything.
Time travel
yeah.
things. But I would say the really big thing that I see is when the time travel mechanic requires that only he is experiencing all of the realities.
Yeah.
And the people, and he's like, his thing, his uncles chose money and job and power or whatever, and he chose relationships. Yeah. And if your thing is relationships, you're having a really one-sided relationship.
Yep.
And so many of him and Mary, Tim and Mary's interactions, especially at the beginning, were created by him, and he had this really rich experience of their interactions compared to hers. I really think about that with the sex scenes. That like was where it was most starkly, and the movie seemed to believe that that was good and
fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
they never like talked about it or
I will say on that, I was shocked by the end of the movie that there was no conversation about his time travel abilities. I was like, wait a minute. Like, I'd want to know. Mm-hmm. I'd want to know. But also, like, after he gets to a certain point, he's in so deep. It's just like, whoa, what if you, what if they have, like, a family with a bunch of kids? And he's like, oh, by the way, a lot of this was really manufactured in particular. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, after, I mean, I think after day, like, 4, you can't tell. Like, mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. there's no way to go back.
Have either of you watched the TV show Extraordinary?
I love that show.
That show is so good.
What is it?
It's a show where it's, like, set in the real world, but except in this world, everyone has a superpower. And they can be anything from, like, normal superpowers that are, like, super strength or speed or whatever, to, like, there's a guy who, if you touch him, you orgasm.
Oh, wow. Like, what's his name? Sorry, I'm just getting too interested in the show.
There's also a guy who, like, 3D prints stuff out his ass.
Yes. Yep, that's cool, too.
How have I not heard of this
guy? Can turn into a cat, and they call him Jizz Lord.
What?
Because he touched the guy when he was a cat, and then, obviously, he, as a cat, orgasmed.
But the real interesting part of this show
sperm has
is
come
that,
up so much more than I thought it would. Okay, sorry.
The real interesting part of the show is that which this is probably not what you're gonna say, but the whole show stays in a capitalist world. So, like, if mm-hmm. everybody just got these little superpowers in a capitalist world, nothing would change, right? Like, we're not seeing like, oh, things got really good for a lot of people. It's like, no, I can talk to dead people, and now I have to go do estate law where I'm talking to people about their wills after their death, right?
That is
so
dope
depressing.
Yeah, it is a little bit. And there is a business that helps people who can't get their powers, because the main thing is this main girl in the show, she doesn't know what her power is and she can't get it, and she's like the only person in her family or like anyone she even knows that doesn't have a power. And one of her friends, Ash, can turn back time, mm-hmm. and he can go back, like, not like as far as back as they can go in this movie, but he can do enough damage where he can, like, do conversations over, like, 4 times until he gets it right. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole episode about that too, basically. And so that just makes me think of this, where it's like, you could really be a shitball about this and just make things perfect or make it so things go your way in your relationship. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
I said Margot Robbie being attracted to Domhnall Gleeson.
Every syllable there.
Domhnall Gleeson. I'm not buying it. I'm just not buying it in any world. Especially after
attractive.
Especially after they don't hit it off when she's there all summer. And I'm like, you're going to... No, sorry. Sorry. Strains credulity. Nothing else in this movie strains credulity except for that. Credulity? Except for that. Melena,
well,
you look like you have something to say.
Okay. The overcoming the brother vibe from that summer, that's tough. I don't know how that happens. He's okay. He does okay for himself.
He's
pretty attractive. Maybe not at the beginning. They really tried to dress him young, even though he's clearly 30, which made it really uncomfortable. But like,
I'm not saying he's an
uggo.
But like, if you see him and Margot Robbie, you're like, ooh, one of them's reaching and one of them is lowering themselves in this relationship. But him and Rachel McAdams is believable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would also, so my biggest thing with this movie where I'm like, after he goes back to fix the play and then he has to meet her in a different way, I'm like, screw the play. The guy who's making the play is a huge jerk, and I would just go back and meet her in the exact same way and skip his play again. Like, that's what I would have done, but yeah.
Totally agree. There had to be, I know it was like they were trying to do a plot thing, but like there had to be a way to make that play go okay. And like go 2 days earlier and rehearse the line, right? Like surely there's something.
I'm like, I didn't, like from when he goes to live with them and all of that, I did not get the impression that he cared about his play until like the play doesn't go well. And he's like, oh, let me fix this. I was like, oh, you guys are friends.
Also, how soon would you walk out of that play? Because that play was so bad.
I had that in my questions.
It was so bad.
But apparently they liked
it
in the newspaper.
You brought up Aaron Sorkin, and during like the courtroom scene, I was like, this is not A Few Good Men. This is pretty far from it. I was like, because the guy's like, this is a guilty person. And then everybody just starts clapping. I was like, Maybe in the context of this play, that was a dope line.
A guilty man, which was the title of the play. That was also the titular line.
Yeah. Harry's guilty of genius.
Right, yeah.
Also, was it that line that you just referenced or the first one by the other guy when they thought that he was the one that forgot his line where he says something and everyone claps and Nick's like, was that really that killer of a line?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I think that, yes. It was interesting. I was like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, the more you talk about it, it does feel like something just to make throw a wrench into the scheme of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else not true? You don't have to reach. We can also, I have a very deep list of questions, and this can kind of be in that category too.
I just gotta say that Rachel McAdams is probably one of my favorite actresses ever. I'm watching this movie, I'm just like, this is probably where it started. And then every time I see her, even if it's a not like a banger of a movie, I'm just like, ah, she's here. This is great. And I love her in The Family Stone, also an amazing movie. And she's a great character in that movie.
Like, you love The Family Stone. I got to see it still.
You do. We'll watch it this Christmas.
It's the same director, right?
No.
Oh, I thought it was. Okay.
No, different director.
No, the same director did Love Actually.
Love Actually, yes.
Another nice movie.
She's meaner and way meaner in The Family Stone, but she's super funny.
Okay. Very cool. I just want to insert a Ripley the Pug reaction. So sometimes I watch movies with Ripley. Sometimes he has no reaction. Sometimes he does have a reaction. His only reaction to this one is when the baby's born, he passively aggressively got up from his sleep and heard the crying baby and just like looked around and was like, what is going on? And then he went back to sleep.
Yeah, tell that baby to shut up.
Pretty much. Okay, which character is the best hang? Which is the worst hang? Who would you most like to hang out with? Who would you least like to hang out with? Milena, we'll start with you.
Okay. Desmond is a good hang. Like, Desmond, just being in the same room, reading, every now and then he comments on his own reality. I would have a lot of fun with that, I think.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I mean, think about that. Mm-hmm. I said the dad, because play some ping pong with that guy. He announces it too, does the play-by-play.
I'll give an honorable mention to Desmond. Dad is very cool. Also, Dad has had a lot of opportunities to be cool by being able to go back in time over and over. Yeah. But he's a cool guy.
True.
What about the worst hang? Sorry.
No, I have one more best hang. Please. Which is Mom. Because first,
she is a good hang.
Yeah, she's like solid, right? Mm-hmm. But also, her first conversation with Mary, Rachel McAdams' character, is just like so casually very interesting. I think she would ask good questions and
she
be okay with silence.
A very personal question right off the bat with her.
What was
funny.
The question again?
What are you insecure?
Or like, what are your weaknesses?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Rachel McAdams is like, okay. Takes a second.
And it's interesting that that's the first question because that's such a forward question, yet you feel like she's actually asking it in good faith and being kind, sort of.
Well, it's because of how she responds, right?
Yeah, like, it's there for sure.
Insecurity? Great. Good.
Mm-hmm. And she says, oh, it's good you're not too pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, right, right. And then she said, she's like, sometimes I have a temper. She's like, well, how else are you going to get him to do what you want him to do?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So good. Worst hang. Who's the worst hang?
There's a few. There's a big front runner.
Who?
I didn't choose this person, but the front runner is, why am I forgetting him now?
Henry.
Who's Henry again?
He's the playwright.
Oh, duh.
That's
yep. Yes, that's the front runner. I chose Rupert because he seems like a worse hang to me, which is the boyfriend that Rachel McAdams was with.
Yeah, he sucks.
When they went to the alternate timeline.
His dumb scarf.
Yeah. He was like calling her Poo-Face or
Poochie.
Something. Poochie. Yeah.
Poochie.
Like so cringe. And then when they walk by him when they're leaving the party and he's like, dickhead. And he's like, does a little finger gun. I was like, okay.
The very last half shot you get of him is him doing a finger gun at himself in the window. It's so funny.
Yes, he's like, I'm going to go in this party and be a cool guy or something. I don't know. I was like, nah, not this guy.
Yeah. I think it's his roommate. I was shocked that he was invited to the wedding. I was like, this guy's a dick. I would not want to hang out
Henry.
With him at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the sleeper agent is Dodgy J in part because they call him Dodgy J. And every time you see him, he's doing something and you're like, that's like low-key rapey. And then he just continues to hang out with him the whole show.
Joanna's like, your friend's about to sexually assault me, I think. Yeah. It's like, what's going on there?
Wait, and this is the ginger one, correct?
Yeah, the
Who
ginger
his
guy.
His sister ends up with?
Yeah.
Dodgy J?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dodgy J.
They do it. Yeah, there's a real 180 on J towards the end of the movie where it's like, oh, he's actually great.
Fully unexplained.
Yeah, fully unexplained.
Right.
It's just like, no, he's great now. Like, what?
I have a few fun facts. Do either of you have fun facts?
I do.
Okay, no, Justin, we'll start with you.
All right, let's get to... I watched this video on YouTube that was like a behind-the-scenes okay. thing about the movie, because I'm into this movie. And a few quotes about the actors talking about the movie. Domhnall Gleeson said, his films are exactly like Richard, talking about Richard Curtis, the director. Full of heart, full of love, and full of generosity.
That's Aww. Really sweet.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Rachel McAdams said, whenever you say you're working on a Richard Curtis project, everybody sort of goes, oh, that's so nice. Is it nice? It must be nice. And I'm like, it is. You should have seen this video of Rachel McAdams. She was like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then Margot Robbie said, he speaks like he writes. He's just so quick and witty and funny without trying at all. And he's just the most lovely, gracious, and wonderful director to work with.
Dang.
Like, wow, this sounds like a great director to work
Seriously.
With.
Seriously. Yeah. A lot of times that's not what is said about directors.
Yeah, I'm sure not.
Mm-hmm. What else has he done? Now
Very few movies as a director. He's been a writer for a lot of movies, but he's done, yeah, Love Actually. That's like the only big hit. He did another movie that looked pretty good. I don't remember the name. And then like a couple short films. But that's like basically it. And then he's written for a bunch of movies.
Yeah. For fun facts, this is one of the very few movies that the... Letterboxd score is significantly higher than the Rotten Tomatoes score, which is really interesting because Letterboxd is full of critical assholes. And
yes.
And so that's really interesting. So like Rotten Tomatoes, 71%, Letterboxd 4.0, which is very high.
Very
for
high.
For a movie on there. Interesting. Rachel McAdams has done Midnight in Paris and The Time Traveler's Wife. Both of which incorporate time travel. Both of which I haven't seen. But she had a quote.
I mentioned this quote to my friend, this movie that we were doing it. And she was like, oh, I haven't seen that one. But I love The Time Traveler's Wife. And I was like, what is this?
So she had a quote where she said, I've now done 3 films with time travel in them. And I've not gotten to time travel once. So I'm kind of bitter about that. And so speaking to your point, Melina, it's like interesting that none of the women actually get to time travel. Except for her sister who takes long
literally
time.
The time traveler's wife, she doesn't like the title, her name's on it, it's just, oh, that's her wife. That, I haven't watched the movie, that's kind of
the time
funny.
Traveler is about
a yeah movie. The wife yeah. I don't know what she does, but
and then my last one is this kind of thing just sticks in my craw. Like, okay, there's a Time magazine article titled Wrong Actually, 3 Time Travel Problems in Richard Curtis's About Time.
Boo.
These
Boo.
Like, first of all, Time magazine, what are you even doing this? Like, talk about something of substance, I guess. But then also, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson does this all the time with sci-fi movies. A sci-fi movie will come out, it will be cool, and he's like, well, actually, scientifically, and I'm like, no, I don't care. No one cares.
No one watching Interstellar is like, wait, is this real?
Wait, is this actually, did this happen? Is this a documentary? I really hate that. It really kind of pisses me off. And I should just ignore it because who cares? But that kind of thing always annoys me where I'm like, let me just pick the plot holes in this. I'm like, who cares?
Nope.
And don't get me wrong, if you start watching this movie and you're like, I cannot handle this time travel mechanic.
For sure.
Go with God.
Yeah, that's fine.
It does not make sense. That is an entirely fair opinion to have.
For
if
sure.
you can't get around it, great. But that's not the point.
No, it's not the point of the movie.
Yeah.
Neil is giving big, asking the teacher if... there's any homework vibes.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
With this whole thing with sci-fi movies.
Yep.
Do you have any more fun facts?
No, do you?
I do. I have a couple more.
All right, let's hear
them. Richard Curtis also made this, he said, in light of his dad dying and having kids and just like life experience and stuff.
Dang.
So that was, touching. And this made me very happy it didn't happen. So the first person that was supposed to play Mary was Zooey Deschanel.
Oh,
thank God that did not happen.
Endlessly different movie that would be.
Yeah, literally. I was like picturing scenes with her in it. I'm like, No.
And she's just there with the ukulele.
Yeah.
In her glasses. And yeah, no, don't want that version at all. I bet it's because of like New Girl or something, because this is around New Girl.
Mm. It would have to be a little snarkier, right? Like a little bit more ironic, because that was such, she was just in that mode in that era.
She, I will say, I did like her in 500 Days of Summer, and she's not like quite as full quirko mode in that
movie. She's pretty quirky in that movie.
She is, but like she's not like Jess from New Girl. I wouldn't say.
Well, I haven't seen much New Girl. So.
Well, I think something that Rachel McAdams does really well, she grounds this character really well, and it could have become Manic Pixie Dream Girl to the max. And I think Zooey Deschanel would have. Yeah. I mean, that's her thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yep. I also really appreciate that they don't feel the need to explain why she's an American in England or something. It's just like, oh, she's just here. Like, that's fine.
I didn't notice she was an American until her American parents came in. I just like didn't clock the accent difference at all.
Yeah, I kind of didn't either. But sometimes that's annoying in movies when they do that. Or when movies force characters to not talk in their British accent, if it makes sense for them to just be British. But
my take on accents is that, like, if you can't, if it's even questionable if whether or not you can do it, it's like, just make it so that the character has an accent that's not regional. Like, just do it. I don't know.
I agree. The last one I had was The Dark Restaurant is Real. It's called Don's Lenore. It sounds French or something.
Okay.
So you can actually go there and just eat your meal in the dark. It's still open. I looked it up on Google Maps today.
What do we think about that scene?
Would you go eat in
I
the
would
dark?
Totally eat there. If I go to London, I'm trying to like see how it's probably freaking expensive, so I probably wouldn't do it.
Your parents just went there, did they go?
I would venture out and say that my parents did not try an experimental restaurant where you're in the dark and vulnerable.
I wouldn't, unless Hannah really wanted to go, then I'd be like, okay, let's go. But I would not seek it out. And on a first date, I don't know. It feels like a big gimmick.
This is Carmi from the Bear's next move with the Bear restaurant. He's like, we're going in the dark, bitches.
Yes.
And he would. Did you know, is it a blind date spot in real life?
That I didn't look into, but is that kind of like, I kind of forgot or like kind of didn't get that. Was that the whole point of going there because it's a blind date?
I think so.
Because they were at the same table. They had to be at the same table.
And he and his friend were separated and both talking to women. So I think it's, I think that was the situation.
Yeah.
Any movie specific questions? I have a few. Milena, do you have any?
Yes. Oh, we've asked a lot of these. Have you ever thanked someone for a kiss like Boo from Fleabag did when she thanked him for his New Year's Eve
kiss? Oh my gosh. Also, I didn't know that girl's in Fleabag. That's funny. That's pretty hilarious.
It's a tough move.
That is,
mm-hmm. Also, that's a really important, I just thought about this. It's really important because it establishes that he's kind of a good guy. He's not going to use his time traveling for evil. He's like, I'm going to go back and kiss the girl.
Yeah. Have you ever thanked anyone for a kiss, Milena?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to do that time with Abby. Thank you.
Thank you. Immediate break eye contact.
Yeah. And she's like so smitten, though. It's kind of funny.
They do a good job of making him very awkward at the beginning of this movie. I was like, this is the nicest incel I've ever seen. I'm not afraid of him, but I'm kind of afraid of him.
Why? I didn't even write this down, but why does Margot Robbie not ask the girl laying right next to her to put sunscreen on her back?
Because she knows what she's doing. Intentional. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's not even into him, so why does she do
that? She wants the attention, and she knows she can get it.
Same thing with that night at the play. For sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What night? Well, what happened at the night?
Just the way I think she like blew off her friend. Did full 180. Now that he wasn't as like into it.
Yeah. I won't say she's like a bad person, but he made the right choice. 100%.
I don't want to look that character. Everybody has like a fun flirty summer, I'm sure. But I think those were two rough moments for her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, in watching this movie, it's hard to even say this because she doesn't have a lot to do, but in watching it, this is very early Margot Robbie. I was like, she's grown a lot as an actress and in what she does as an actor, like in Wolf of Wall Street or in Barbie. Like, she's just doing a lot more and she has a lot more to do. But I was like, it was hard for me to tell, like, how much growth is her and how much she just always had it and, like, just had better opportunities. But
it was so weird to see her as an extra at the wedding, just sitting in the background, nothing to say, nothing to do.
And you're like, so crazy.
Don't you know that's Margot Robbie?
Yeah, now she's like superstar, and it's like, oh, she's just a little side character in this movie.
I have a question.
Okay, let's hear it.
Do Kit Kat and Tim have too much chemistry?
Yes.
Nick really felt awkward when she laid on him in his bed.
When she, like, is on top of him, like, head to head, face to face, I was like, weird. And then she also ends up with another ginger man who's his best friend. And I'm like, it's weird.
I do think that actress had chemistry with everybody, though. Like, when she greeted Mary, Rachel McAdams' character, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure, true. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Full-on kisses on the cheek and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just, there were a few times in watching this that I was like...
Nick said, wait, so this is his sister?
Yeah. It was interesting. Yeah. Any other questions?
I had a question about... So he's taken Mary out for 10 starters? Like 10 appetizers?
Is that what was said? 10?
Yeah, he said 10.
I don't know that he actually took her for 10. I think that was the joke, though. He's like, yeah, we'll do endless apps.
All right. All right. I was just like, okay.
That's a lot.
Does time travel present more of a burden or a joy that you get to go and do these things over? Like, if you're in his shoes. Because there's also kind of like I feel like there might be a stressful responsibility aspect to this of like, what do I got to do?
I mean, I have clinical OCD, so like it would not be good for me.
Yeah, probably wouldn't be good for me
honestly,
either.
Which would bring me to my next, like, I would feel like I'd have a moral obligation, I think, to do a lot of things, which leads me to a question. Like, his dad talks about like the killing Hitler thing, but I'm also like, sir, you lived through like Margaret Thatcher. Could you like go back and not kill anyone, but like maybe like find her parents and be like, don't have sex today, tomorrow. I don't know. That was just a question that I had.
It's a great question.
Malena, is time travel more of a gift or a burden?
Oh, this version of time travel would be so debilitating to be able to redo. And it's like, I think they showed exactly what a person would do if they had it, which is after an awkward moment, just like sprint away from the awkward moment.
Yep.
The whole girlfriend scene.
Oh.
Yeah.
Miserable. Yeah. Horrible. And just redo it. But then you're still living. You haven't fixed anything because you're still living with the memory of all of that, like, horribleness. You're still gonna wake up in the middle of the night and be like, oh, remember that time where I did that stupid thing, even though it doesn't exist in the reality anymore.
I live one life, and I wake or I like think about cringy moments from my past and I'm like, oh gosh, why'd I do that?
I also think it would ruin me socially if I knew that if at any point I could just undo it, the habits that I would build would be so bad.
Counterpoint, you would have you would feel so loose because you're like, if I screw it up, I can just do it over again. And then maybe you'd just be fine on the first time every time. Not every time.
Yeah, maybe.
And actually, maybe I could use some loosening up. I know a lot of people who absolutely should not be loosened
Malena,
up.
You know what? Malena, I think if you had this ability, I think you are a very kind person. And I think that if you were like in a situation... I think
there's still a few moments from high school that I would still right now be living trying to fix them. That's what I think I would do with time travel.
Yep. Dude, don't get this in a perfectionist hands.
Yeah. No.
Also, thank goodness for this family that at least they did, at least in this current time, they're doing some good things. In the wrong family's hands with the men in that family.
Oh, gosh.
Who knows what's going on?
Yeah, this one really relies on some nobility in this movie. Yeah.
But they skip over that. Well, they don't skip. You don't see the money and power from the past. But these two guys, they got it right.
But.
Kind of.
They're living in that house. So they do have. They did get the money from the past. They're just living in that now.
Yeah. Oh, in the first 5 minutes of the movie, I was like, this guy has the best life ever. Like. At least in the sense of he has zero problems. He is watching movies with his family in this giant house on the coast. I'm like, looks pretty nice.
I find out I have this. I'm going to go win the lottery.
Oh yeah.
Immediately.
Oh, I'm placing a million.
First one, yeah.
I'm placing $100,000 bets on who's going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you clean up on all those parlays, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Justin just has FanDuel. He's like, all right, here we go.
I could probably only do it like twice because then FanDuel will be like, okay, you're too good. Get off here.
Okay, should Tim tell Mary he can time travel? Yes, we've covered that. Do we think Harry's play is good? No, we do not.
I actually do. Well, I'll save that one for the end. Just kidding. I'll save that one.
Okay. How is it that English lawyers still wear the powdered wigs? Like,
he said that he was a lawyer, and she like listed off some of the things, like with the briefcase and the suit. It's kind of sexy. I was like, they're wearing the wigs. That's not sexy. It was so upsetting.
But she's American, so she probably doesn't know that.
She just doesn't know. It's like it's a Batman thing. If, like, he just leaves and puts on the wig, she has no idea that lawyers there wear wigs. I feel like she'd know.
No, yeah, no, I'm saying like when they're on the first date, she doesn't know at that point because she just thinks it's sexy. But yeah, later on, she finds out and she's like, oh, wigs?
Yeah. And well, I'll just acknowledge like it's a cultural thing that is not part of where I am. So I'm like, oh, that looks weird. But I tried to think of a wig equivalent in our justice system. And I was like, I can't find it. Or just in our government. And I'm like, I don't know. Help me out.
I mean, judges wear robes.
Yeah,
that's
attire.
Kind of silly.
It is silly.
At the Supreme Court, I think the Solicitor General wears tails.
What?
I'm pretty sure if it's not
tails? Like coattails,
like coattail. Like there's actually like a coat. I don't know if it's the Solicitor General. But I'm pretty sure they
deep cut
wear,
Solicitor
like,
General
long. Like there's a cloakroom for their tails, I believe, but I could be wrong about all of the specifics.
Do the British guards, are there still British guards outside of Buckingham Palace who wear the funky outfits and stuff?
Yeah,
they're just more okay with silly things like that, I guess.
When you're fancy enough, I guess.
Do female lawyers wear wigs?
Oh,
the powdered wigs, like
I think so, yeah.
Okay, all right.
According to Princess Diaries, when at the end they hire their first female barrister and she puts on a wig.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's legit.
Is Jim's ginger friend the redhead Jean Ralphio? Because he looks, he gives that energy
so much.
He
does.
Nick really pointed that out, and it's true.
It really is.
Yeah.
Proto Jean Ralphio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then my last question is like, what is our relationship to the song Mr. Brightside by The Killers?
It was at the beginning of that. Mm-hmm. I had not clocked that the first time I watched it. It's a solid song. I really love that song.
What do you think?
My only relationship is to like movies and events where it's played. And it's good for those times. And otherwise, I don't really listen to it, but it's good.
I mean, it's so creepy, but like, it's a banger. I will scream it every time.
I have an interesting relationship to that song because in one way, it reminds me of the indie version of like Don't Stop Believin', where I'm like, I think I've just heard this song so many times. Mm-hmm. But then also, when they played it in the movie, I've been to two weddings where that song has been played on the dance floor, and I get why it's played because it's a banger. Yes, but I'm also just like, huh, interesting song for a wedding. I don't know. It's interesting.
The needle drop, and Nick points out the needle drop when he sees her at the party, which is Dilemma by Nelly,
mm-hmm.
was like so perfect for that moment. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite songs. I mean, the soundtrack is the best thing in this movie. The soundtrack.
Yeah, it's good. Surprisingly
is
good.
So lovely. I listen to it in most playlists. It shows up in most playlists that I have. But the song when he meets her, and then that motif that keeps on running through is mm-hmm. such a gorgeous little pullback. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I really like the Nick Cave song in there too. The one that is like
the funeral for the dad.
Talking about believing in God or not. Yes. And that song is amazing. And Nick Cave, have you ever listened to the podcast On Being? Mm-hmm. So have you heard the episode with him on it? Okay, it's it's interesting because he's a guy who makes really weird music a lot of times. Mm-hmm. But like he just had like a lot of death in his life and things, and just listening to him talk is just, yeah, really lovely.
It's really lovely.
Very emotional. And that song is great as well.
Are we pro or anti voiceover? And did you notice it in this movie?
I definitely noticed it. I think I've become pro voiceover.
Where is it?
See?
Yeah, okay, yes, because I can't think of it. Yeah.
It's the whole movie.
The whole movie.
Oh.
Start to end. But I didn't think about it until this last rewatch. I was like, wow, this whole thing is voiced over. It's like it's a book.
No, if you asked me before watching last night, I'd have been like, no, I don't think so. And it's like, yeah, the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm not anti-voiceover then. I mean, I don't know.
I would normally be, like, I just usually think it's kind of lazy. But yes, I just so didn't notice it. Yeah, yes. For most of it. And I don't know how they did that. Like, snuck it in there.
Yeah.
It's, I just think recently the things I've watched, I think I've used it for good and I've done it in a good way. And sometimes in this movie, you can argue it gets a little explainy or like, so here's what I'm thinking here in this moment. And it's like, okay. But yeah, in theory, it always sounds like a bad idea. And then when it's used right, it's like, oh, this is really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to watch Euphoria, and there's voiceover from Zendaya throughout mm-hmm. that show, and it's good.
All right.
There are three. Have you guys heard of the rom-com distortion when it comes to? So
no.
On the spectrum from romantic to terrifyingly creepy, mm-hmm. Rom-com distortion takes things that would normally be like pretty terrifyingly creepy and like yep. bumps them up. So
this is great.
There are three meet cutes with yeah. between the same two people
yeah.
in this show or in this mm-hmm. movie. Some of them are what the first one, well, this is the question.
Yeah.
Where do you put them on the spectrum, and do you think there's any rom-com distortion?
Okay, wait, let's just cover them real quick. It's the blind date one,
mm-hmm.
and then the Kate Moss exhibit, and mm-hmm. then what's the third
one? The party.
The party.
The party?
The one she, yes. the only one she knows about.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Only one for her.
Well, I'll say, I mean, I think the Kate Moss one is the creepiest.
It's so bad.
It's creepy for a few reasons. One, the man who comes to the Kate Moss exhibit every day and is just hanging out on his own, or with the sister who he's strangely close with, like, not a good vibe. And then he is like, I was shocked as the scene kept going on. I'm like, go back, refresh, you're not doing well right now.
and just stayed in it.
And at the end of that scene, when her dumb boyfriend comes over and then he leaves and he's like, oh, that guy's kind of weird, right? She's like, oh, I think he's kind of cute. And I'm like, he is? You think he's kind of cute? Like, I don't know. Oh, that behavior is terrifying.
I would argue, my point of view is the third one at the party is the creepiest, because this man comes in like a serial or like premeditated killer. Like, I got all the facts. I'm locking you down and mm-hmm. we're getting this thing going on. So like that, if in a different light, that like from his point of perspective, if it was like perverted, it would be like, I am going to tell her what she wants to hear and she is going to like me. And that's basically what it is. But because it's a rom-com, it's like, oh my gosh, you love Kate Moss?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do think if your opening line to me at a party thrown by that blonde girl where there's yep. no food and I don't know anybody
no
and your
food.
Opening line is like, you look like you think this is miserable. Do you want to go to a diner? Yes, absolutely. I'm sold. I'm all in.
No,
for
that
sure.
part was like great. Like, yes, every party I'm at, not every party, but that's me. I'm like, can we go somewhere else?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the blind date is the actually cutest one. And actually the one that to me makes the most sense. It's an interesting situation where you're like eating with darkness, but like it's actually cute.
Yeah.
And like not creepy.
I really part. Like in that one that they don't say anything. It's that yeah. like I'm here, I'm like filling it because there's space and I feel this like nervous energy.
Mm-hmm.
But like back and forth, they really don't say much.
They're both so nervous to see each other
yeah.
too.
The nervousness is, yeah,
palpable.
Again, going back to like the new romance thing, that mm-hmm. is so lovely and something the movie does a really good job of there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely the most genuine. Even when they go on that date later on, like after they leave the party, that's really sweet too. But yeah, that one feels the most real when they're mm-hmm. meeting for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
One more.
Okay.
So there was a moment at the funeral when he walked by his mom to go talk to his dad in the past, right? He like walked by her and the camera like sat on her and her eyes as her eyes like tracked him. And it made me wonder for the first time if she knows. Because she's been like,
yeah.
And like to like, and that like fully broke my heart for her to like, if she knew, for her to watch him going to talk with the person who she loved so much in just a world that she was shut out of.
Yeah.
It's really.
Yeah. That's, I want to rewatch that now.
That's see if interesting. I didn't even notice it, but my instinct is to say she doesn't know. Cause if she does, that opens up such a can of worms that I was like, I don't know if this movie's prepared to deal with this.
I feel like that character of all the characters could be like, yeah, there's time travel and I don't want anything to do with it. Like
for
that
sure.
has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's definitely like super mature and also just like says what she's thinking as well. And like very much an adult. So yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting.
I appreciate that this movie does have consequences for the time travel, and it doesn't like there are some moments where it starts a little too optimistic of like, all right, I'm gonna do this, things will be perfect. Like even with Kit and like having to just let her get in that car accident.
Yeah.
And then he again, we kind of talked about how this feels more like a really intentional wrench, but the whole play thing where it's like, oh gosh, I did this now. I don't like, she's not my phone. Shoot.
Yeah.
So it can, a few times it started to get like, ah, everything's perfect. We can use the time travel. Everything's good. And I like that there's some wrenches.
Yeah. What would you pair this movie with? It can be anything. Anything at all. Melina, what would you pair this movie with?
What I did pair it with was like a gin and tonic. With like a lavender mint syrup, like a really like
fun.
Light summery.
You actually paired it with
I
it when you watched
it with
amazing.
It last night. Yeah, fun. That was so that, and then probably like a phone call to your parents and like that. You know when it's raining outside, but it's totally sunny, and you don't have any clue how it's raining. Mm-hmm. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That is good. Probably a trip to some cool beach that you want to go to.
That's really nice.
I think about this beach that me and Abby went to in Portland when we were in Oregon. And then when we went to this beach, I think it was called Cannon Beach.
Okay.
It's the closest thing that I can think of to like the beach that they're on. And it's
cloudy. Like, cloudy beach.
Cloudy, not like a beach where you're seeing people lay out and stuff. Mm-hmm. More of a walk-in sea. Oh, or actually New Zealand, too. We went to New Zealand. There were some beaches there that looked like that.
That's cool. I said pair it with the movie Past Lives. Because have you seen Past Lives, Melina?
No, it is on my list. That is a movie
Melina,
I
it's amazing.
I don't know much about you, but that I feel like you're going to like that movie.
It's amazing. Have you seen Materialists?
Not yet.
Because
it's new and it has to be a really good movie. I saw Sinners in theaters was the last movie
yeah.
I saw in theaters. That's what
Sinners.
I go to theaters for.
Yep.
You should be the litmus test on how successful a movie is going to be. It's like, all right, if this movie can pull Melina in, then it's going to be really
it's like
good.
Me and the 17-year-old boys. That's yes. That's your market audience.
Yeah. Past Lives is so lovely. Also about relationships. Also not literally about time travel, but about, like.
What if?
What if? What if just yeah, it's beautiful.
It's good.
I also said reliving relationship lore. Justin, we had a conversation, you and Abby and Hannah and I, like a month or so ago, where we just kind of talked about a lot of things, and Hannah and I talked about just like us starting to like become just like the way that our relationship grew, and it was like, that was really nice. Like, it's not something where it's like, oh, I think of every detail of this every day, and then unpacking that is like, it's like really lovely, just your story. So are we ready for quote tennis? Do you have
so
quotes
ready.
All right,
yeah, I cool. have some quotes.
Amazing. Melina, we'll start with you.
Don't call too often. Your mother doesn't like to be disturbed.
I was actually having the first good idea I've had for a decade when you rang on the doorbell, but now it's gone, you little shit.
Be prepared for strangeness. Get ready for a spooky time.
Your mom still look like Andy Warhol?
You were such an ugly baby. More chimpanzee than child. I remember the first time I saw you. I thank God we were within driving distance of London Zoo.
Evening, all. What a dickhead. Yeah.
I should probably go because my friend is waiting for me and you're a total stranger. Total stranger.
You can't kill Hitler or shag Helen of Troy.
I think I plumped for fuck, but it was the 70s.
Are we having sex? Yes, but not oral.
That's one of the best parts of the movie. Oh my gosh. The only people who give up work at 50 are the time travelers with cancer who want to play more table tennis with their sons.
She's so beautiful. If you had sex with her, you would die. You would just die.
You'd open her shirt, you'd see her breast, your eyes would explode, you'd have to have sex with her blind, and then you'd die.
There's a song by Baz Luhrmann called Sunscreen. He says worrying about the future is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life will always be things that never crossed your worried mind.
I am not taking my pants off for Scotland. <It's good.
laughs> Were you so bored in the play you decided to ask me to marry you afterwards?
That's a very good line.
I'm out.
I think I have one. I might cut this one because it is just awful, but that's my daughter. Have sex with her if you like. Apparently everyone else has.
He's such a dick. Greatest record ever recorded by an Italian who looks like he has a dead badger on his head.
Amazing. I'm out.
Okay. I still have a couple more.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're all quite similar in the end. We all get old and tell the same tales too many times, but try and marry somebody kind.
That is so lovely.
Oh, wait. I forgot I had another one. This one is great. We're all traveling through time together every day of our lives. All we can do is our best to relish this remarkable ride.
She definitely will bounce. She can do anything.
What is that about again?
That's when Desmond reaches for the new baby and asks, oh, will she bounce?
Yes. Yes.
Yep. You can cut any of these, but yeah, I love
totally.
All of them.
No.
Yes, yeah. I am.
Oh my arsing god in a box. I am so uninterested in a life without your father.
Oh, that yep. one is killer.
God, you fucking furious. Fucking furious. Yeah. Ugh.
I misremembered that moment. I thought he had already died when she said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but he's about to.
And a little chaser. I try to live every day as if I've purposely come back to this one day.
Yep.
I think that's like the thesis statement of the movie.
Yes.
I think it's so beautiful.
Yeah,
it is.
For sure. And then just like even appreciating the little things where he goes back to the day that he just did. And he's like, look at this. Isn't this a beautiful room? His friend's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of my notes I put down when at the end when he does say, like, I just try to live each day. And I was like, I don't know. The living days twice sound pretty cool. I might have done that still.
I have one last question for you, Milena, in particular. Anything else you're enjoying lately? Like any books, podcasts, anything that you'd want to recommend? Because I always like hearing what other people are enjoying. Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of something that goes well with this.
Oh, it doesn't have to be connected at
I
all.
Know.
I know.
So right now I am watching The Bear. Mm-hmm. It is such a different vibe than this movie. I
Way
do
different.
Think it gives a close, there's like an intimacy to
it
and an honesty to it that I think mirrors some of what's happening in this movie, like a rawness
Yeah.
It took me so long to get through season three because season three.
Oh, yeah.
Stuck shit. I mean, it's not. It's beautiful. It's beautifully shot. It just is not the same.
Yes.
Show.
The whole craft is still good, but not much happens. I loved it enough to stick with it and be like, yeah, I like this.
And they're yelling at each other in a way that feels not fun, in a way that feels like dangerous and risky and it's all going to fall apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's going berserko. Yeah. Carmi is. And it's like, dude, just chill. And then in the first few episodes of this one, he's like, all right, yes. Of season four, he's like, okay, we can change some things. I'm like, you couldn't have done that earlier? Like, goodness.
And then I'm like 2 decades late on this series, but I just read a fantasy series.
Okay.
Called City of Brass is the name of the first one. And it's, I like a good fantasy book. This one is set from like Eastern Africa and okay. all the way like essentially along the coast down to Western India in like medieval. It uses a lot of the folklore from those areas. It's really beautiful.
Wow.
It's really interesting. And I just didn't know any of it. So it's
that's cool.
Yeah, it's a good time. Yeah,
that sounds really cool. So this is like about a decade old.
Yeah, maybe two.
Okay,
yeah,
I've not
somewhere
heard of
in
it.
There. No,
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And so recommend that.
Amazing. Anything else either of you want to share for the good of the cause?
This movie's cool.
It's great. No way.
Yeah. Well, actually, though, I just feel like this movie has so many rewatchable scenes. Do you guys feel that way? Like, there's so many scenes when they were coming up, I was like, oh, yeah, this one.
I've only seen it once, so true. I wasn't looking forward to any scenes, but I definitely agree that it has a
the
lot
dress
in
scene,
it.
The dress scene? She's trying on dresses?
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good scene.
Yeah. What do we think about a red wedding dress?
I'm obsessed with the red yeah. wedding dress. Yes, I could never do it. My mom would kill me. But I really love I'm a 30-year-old person and my mom would kill me.
I
really love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah. she's pregnant, so that's
yeah.
what that signifies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good for her.
Whoa, did not make that connection. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's like old, just like gross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah.
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 Here's
yeah.
something we did not talk about it and we could slice it in anywhere, but
yeah.
I am really I still can't quite get over the fact that Mary Rachel McAdams has such a different experience of her relationship to him mm-hmm. than he
yeah.
does to her.
Yeah.
And I really actually don't know how that works. Like, I don't know how you because he's not they do a really good job at not making him manipulative or if
yes.
or you feel like he's manipulative, even if he's being. You're like, well, yeah, but I understand why. Like, think of the era this came out. He could have been full the game, right? Like, everything could have been, like, a little neggy and a little bit, yep. like, tricking her into bed or something like that. And he wasn't mm-hmm. doing that. So we were like, oh, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But I really, on the rewatch, I didn't feel like he was being manipulative. It's just so different for her. Like, if you
I
watch the movie,
yeah.
it's kind of a horror movie if you watch it from her perspective a little bit.
I was just mm-hmm. thinking that. I was like, what would a movie like this be from her perspective? Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see.
It'd be very linear, and a lot of things would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like,
uh-huh.
yeah.
Yeah.
But is that fair? No. Not, like, at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting. Yeah.
It's not a lot of trust, I guess, is what it. Mm-hmm.
That's a good word for it. Yeah. Gosh. Wow. Well, thanks for ruining the whole movie, Malay.
No, that's
no,
why
I'm
I said
kidding.
You could put it somewhere else because it is. I love this movie so much.
Yes.
But, you know, it's a movie.
No,
yeah.
I think that I'm glad you brought it up, though, because
mm-hmm.
I think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Cool. Thanks for listening to Show Me the Movies and our discussion on About Time. Email us at themoviesshowme@gmail.com with any questions or comments, and remember to follow us on Blue Sky or Instagram. We'll see you next time.
And always remember, Tim, have any conlingos with my daughter lately?